We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
People assume that you fear your bosses getting into scandal or controversy because that could really directly affect your job.
Yeah, that can happen.
Explaining what I do to my family is like talking to a pilgrim. I truly, is that offensive to pilgrims?
I don't think the pilgrims are around anymore.
Okay, it literally is like.
You feel like you have to post feet even if you don't want to, right, to raise your WikiFeet rating.
Yes.
Hi everyone, I'm Trevor. You've probably seen me before. And I'm joined by three awesome creatives in the space that work behind the scenes on some YouTube, on some channels, but also, you know, are seen, are found on the screen as well sometimes. So please, my lovely guests, if you'd like to introduce yourselves, we can start with Sam.
Hi, my name is Sam Temple. I was formerly with H3 Podcast and now I work for Cutie Cinderella.
Hi, I'm YB. I'm a senior video editor and cast for the Try Guys.
Hi, I'm Erin and I oversee the main channel at Smosh.
Let's get into some assumptions. People assume that you all, or we all, wanted to be YouTubers ourselves, but failed.
Oh, that's so mean.
That's what the folks on the internet are saying.
We're failures.
That's really mean.
I mean, kind of true, at least for me. I had a YouTube channel growing up, and it did not go well.
Wow, you were the OG.
I guess, but I mean, no one was watching, so that's why I, pursued behind the scenes.
For me, I actually didn't think I was gonna go on YouTube at all, but I entered at BuzzFeed, so I ended up being in the YouTube space, but I wanted to be an editor. Mm-hmm. But there at BuzzFeed, they made people be on camera as well. So then I was like, okay, I'll try it, and then it just kind of ended up being naturally. So I don't think I attempted to be a YouTuber, it just kind of happened in my career path.
Mm-hmm. You were just meant for it?
Yes. So cool. I don't think I was meant for it.
I could have never seen this coming for me.
Really?
No, it was never even something I was considering. My background's in graphic design.
Oh. Whoa.
So I was a graphic designer and I was doing a little bit of freelance for Ethan and Hila. And then I started working there and then my role just evolved into being sort of creative director, prop master, just doing anything visual, like segment prep over there. And then I was like, oh, actually, this is what I want to do.
So we're not failures.
No.
I am a little.
No, you're not.
No. You're my favorite.
Oh my God.
Yeah, actually, Erin is my favorite Smosh member.
Wow.
People assume that you fear your bosses getting into scandal or controversy because that could really directly affect your job, maybe in some way.
Yeah, that can happen. Yeah, I mean, working for such a big company with a lot of following, I think you're bound to have something happen. I mean, of course, some things can be very unexpected, but yeah, it does affect the whole company and it's shit because there are so many people you don't know, strangers talking about it. I remember when our scandal broke out, I literally had high school people that I haven't talked to in years text me oh my God, I saw your face on the news or whatever. I'm like, what? Why is my face there? I think it does affect a lot of things. And as an employee, you're definitely scared during that time,
right,
because you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
But I think the guys handled it really well.
Because you are kind of at the audience's mercy. So it's you can only do so much.
Yeah.
So I could totally understand how it's we don't know.
You can't do
we
anything.
Don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Some people maybe assume that you took these jobs to get your own fans.
Not at all for me. When I started at H3, I was not on camera at all. For the first probably almost a year that I was there, I was just doing stuff behind the scenes, crafting, and I never ever would have saw that coming. And then I just started posting on TikTok and I was I should do my little crafts at home and post them on TikTok. Mm-hmm. So no, not at all. It's so weird.
No, I agree. I definitely did not imagine that I would ever even end up on camera at Smosh. And I went to school for screenwriting and directing, so it felt natural to apply for this position. Mm-hmm. So I knew I was going to pursue entertainment industry, but not on camera whatsoever. I think it'd be so odd to just start working at a YouTube channel and, like, assume, like, I'm going to have all these fans. Like, these people are going to love me. Like, that's not, I don't know, that would be crazy. Like, I was there for, like, behind-the-scenes work, and then it just kind of happened, yeah.
Yeah, I also went to school for, like, film, so then I thought I was going to be behind the scenes the whole time. But again, with BuzzFeed, it kind of naturally became that. Mm-hmm. I was also on camera, so when I transferred over to the Try Guys, they let me be on camera as well. So I knew it was going to come with more fans, and I took that as a plus because, you know, it's like a side job also. But I think my main goal was to be the video editor.
Some people assume also that, like, maybe you were kind of secretly fans of the creators that you first started working with, or maybe not secretly, maybe you were openly fans. Is that something that is kind of true for any of you?
I was definitely an H3 fan before working for them, and I was a Cutie fan also before working for her, so that is true.
I wasn't necessarily a fan of Smosh. I mean, like, I was a huge YouTube kid. Mm. Like, I grew up with YouTube, so hey. I was aware of them. Like, I knew who Ian and Anthony were. But at the time that I started working there, like, I didn't know much about that current, like, iteration of Smosh.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really watch YouTube before, so I didn't really know them. I knew of BuzzFeed because I used to, like, take the quizzes online. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know them that well before, but yeah, same. When I got mm-hmm. to know them, I was like, oh my God, I love their videos mm-hmm. and I love working with them.
Do you think that being a fan of a creator helps or hurts your chances of working with them?
I guess it could be weird if it's, like, yeah. super fan yeah. and trying yeah, to work for them.
If you have, like, a stan account,
yeah.
right. maybe yeah. it might be a little
Also, you know? I think, creepy. Like, your intention for working there, like, right. if you're just yeah. trying to, like, become friends with the people and, yeah. like, be around them, like, that probably won't help you get in. But, like, if you have, like, the background experience mm-hmm. and it's, like, aligned with, like, your future goals, like, I think it totally helps if you have, like, an understanding of the content
yeah, that's
and,
true.
Like, the tone. Yeah. So then you can, like, bring that to the table for sure.
Some people assume that you all started as, like, friends of the creators that you worked for or worked with, and maybe you're, like, kind of a nepo hire.
Not me, because I was an intern there, but I guess I met them through BuzzFeed and then got hired because of that, so I was nepo within BuzzFeed, but I didn't know them before BuzzFeed.
Yeah, I didn't know anyone in the industry, like, had no connections, just applied for the job, and, like, became friends with my coworkers, right. but, like, I did not know any of them beforehand.
I was a bit of a nepo hire at H3. I was dating one of the producers. We had been dating, but I actually moved to LA, and I had a different job, and I got laid off immediately when I got here. Like, after a month of being here, Ethan and Hilo were kind enough to give me, like, some freelance opportunities doing, like, graphic design. And then eventually I looked for a job for, I think, 4 or 5 months. And this was during COVID. So it was like, I was not finding work. Mm-hmm. And they were like, why don't you come over with us full time? And I was like, yes. So I would say I was a bit of a nepo hire.
You just networked. You used your network.
Yeah, but at least I had the skills to back it up.
Right.
So, you know, I wasn't just in there. Right.
This is something that I felt, but people think that the unpredictability of kind of the YouTube algorithm or AdSense, things like that, affects how you feel, like, job security wise. Like, it makes you worried knowing how unpredictable YouTube can be.
I think I definitely have before, but ultimately you're part of a team that is building something to put out there, and it's like, I know this sounds goofy, but it's like, if everybody is focused on the product and making it great, it makes me feel a lot more secure. My name is on this. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna make this good.
Yeah.
And I feel like if everyone has that attitude, then it just makes you feel more secure.
No, I fully agree. I feel like it's less about job security. Like, granted, there's so many, like, pivots you have to make, but, like, again, like, as a team, like, it's never felt like it's just on, like, me to figure mm-hmm. out. And if I don't, like, right. I'm out of a job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's just kind of part of the course, is, like, you're gonna have to make pivots and, like, evolve your content to, like, fit the algorithm or, like, what people want to watch. It just is that way.
Yeah. I mean, YouTube algorithm is annoying. It always has been. And that's why the second try started, the streamer service, because we wanted to deal with the YouTube algorithm, still post on it, but also make videos for fans that didn't depend on views solely. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a really great move by the guys. Without that, I guess we could be definitely seeing some struggle. And for me, like, since I'm an editor, when the video I edited doesn't get as many views, I do feel a little, like, disappointment. Mm-hmm. I know it's not, like, all on me, but it does affect me a little bit.
Some people assume that maybe as you get older, it'll be harder to kind of keep up with trends. Are you ever stressed about that?
Definitely.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. I think, like, when I first came into Smosh, I think, like, I was one of the younger people there. So, mm-hmm. like, I had a lot of, like, insight on, like, current trends. Yeah. But, like, I was, like, able to recognize, like, oh, like, this is going to have a shelf life. Like, there's going to be younger people who come in and, like, know more than me. Mm-hmm. But I think that's, like, such a great part of the industry is, like, there's always going to be this, like, replenishing, like, group of people who can come in and be like, oh, no, like, here's what's hot. Like, here's what we should be doing. And, like, we should give those people an opportunity, like, to teach us. So, like, yes, it is kind of, like, a fear of, like, oh, no, like, am I getting, like, old? I'm, like, I out of touch. But it's, like, there's always going to be people to help us with that.
Yeah, I think for the Try Guys, I hope that the audience would kind of grow up with us. Mm-hmm. I know not everyone would, but I think there are some people who watched them from the beginning and still watch now. And I am also, I was also young when I started. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not anymore. But I think growing up with them and changing their content a little bit is mm-hmm. also good. Of course, there's always going to be newer, younger people watching. And for that, I guess we do have to learn some trends. Like, I know when TikTok came out, it was a big thing. We're like, okay, we have to learn how to do TikToks now. I think it's adapting slowly, and we'll find out how to do it.
Yeah, I think especially to your point, like with social clips, like having to put Subway Surfers, like with I just feel like the it's interesting learning with the younger audience because I think there's differences in like attention span. It's like you have to, it's just like the editing style, I feel like has to be a lot quicker and like grabbing your attention. So like your content sort of has to be tailored in that way as well.
I got hired when I was 20, and I remember that was always the thing. It was like, oh, Trevor's a young guy. Trevor's a young guy. This kid knows TikTok. And now I'm like older and I'm like, am I still the young guy? Or like, what's my identity? But when your bosses are like 45, 50 years old, then, you know, you're always going to be the young guy. One thing that I have definitely had the fear of, and I'm curious to hear what y'all have to say, is like your fear that if you lose your job, there isn't like really a career path or it's hard to know what, you know, you might do afterward.
I don't think so, because there are so many YouTubers also out there if you want to stay in digital media or you could do other stuff. Like for me, my dream actually, like way later, would be to teach. I want to be like a professor at a university teaching editing. So I think I could always find something new to do other than just like working at Try Guys. Mm-hmm. But I'm not too worried because I think I've made enough connections now that if I wanted to continue editing for another YouTuber, I should be able to find a job.
Yeah. And like at this point, like I feel like I've built up enough of a skill set that it is applicable to like a lot of other jobs, even like outside of digital media.
Yeah.
And like because I went to school for like film and television, like I still think that's a path I could explore. Like I don't know if I need to stay in YouTubers. So yeah, not too much of a fear.
I agree with you. I don't really feel like I have that fear either. My favorite thing to do is build stuff and do DIY, and that's my dream for my own content. And as long as I am able to do that, I don't feel like I have that fear.
So if you have transferable skills, it's not scary. Maybe that's what I need to work on.
You have
maybe
skills.
Maybe I should find some skills.
You can cook, right?
Yeah, aren't you a baker?
Oh my God. No, that's actually my fear. If like this went away and for whatever reason I couldn't find something else, that I'd have to go back to like working in a restaurant.
Oh, you don't want
to. Working in the culinary
cook.
Industry. Because I would hate that. I never want to do that.
That's my dream. To like run away to the woods and be a baker.
I want to learn how to
so
cook.
Nice.
Yeah, to bake.
I want a restaurant.
Right?
I just want, like, that's in the back of my mind.
Yeah, that would be so fun.
Wow. Yeah.
See, so that's a good skill, Trevor.
You never know. You don't want to own a restaurant.
I am after.
Yes, I do, Trevor.
Restaurant. You don't want to own it. The only time I'd do that is if I, like, moved back to Idaho and opened a small little bakery and went off the grid.
Oh.
Who knows? Maybe that's like a backup.
Or you could start a cooking channel, like a baking channel.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. I could. These are all great ideas. Should we write these down? One thing that people maybe assume is that as you've kind of gotten to be on camera more is that you'd like to fully stop working behind the scenes and maybe be on camera full time.
Definitely not for me.
Me either.
I don't think I'm like particularly good at being on cameras in the way that we like need people at Smosh to be on camera. Like I think like something like conversational, I can do that. But like I'm not an actor. I don't do like characters, which is like a huge part of Smosh. And again, like I set out to do behind the scenes work. So like it would be really odd.
Right now I love my balance. I get to be on camera sometimes and also edit. So I think I would like to keep that because I think if I had to do one thing the whole time, I would get bored quicker.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I agree. I feel like I like being able to do both. I love the behind the scenes. I love the, because I like, H3 is all live, Cuties all live. I love the rush of doing things live. Mm. It feels like you work so hard to prepare something and then it's showtime and you're like, I love the feeling of live shows and live events, and I feel like I'll never get over the behind the scenes portion of that. Mm-hmm.
People assume that you get a lot of fans sending you crazy or invasive DMs. Maybe that's asking for jobs or like asking to talk to the creators or video ideas or like unwanted feedback.
A lot of like cold emails asking for like jobs and like sending scripts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, DMs can be an interesting, scary place as a woman. Definitely like a new thing to get used to.
Yeah.
I definitely get a huge amount of that. And it's either that or feet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They always want feet.
Oh. Yeah. Are you on the Wiki feet?
I am on Wiki feet.
Me too.
My rating just went up and it was really exciting.
Wow,
someone gave me a bad review.
The same.
I'm sitting at like a 4.8.
I was a 2 before. It was just a 2. What? And I was like, I have to post my feet more. Like, this is not okay.
I need to find who tanked my rating. Yeah. I am so,
probably
it should be 5.
You'll get it there. I think you can get it there.
I get pedicures.
I'm investing.
Our next assumption was, you feel like you have to post feet even if you don't want to raise your Wiki feet rating.
Yes.
There are some crazy DMs though. Some of them are really funny.
Yeah.
I love when you get someone who's kind of just doing like a little diary in there.
Oh, yeah. A full confession.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just kind of talking to themselves.
I have one person that does that. I've never like accepted the request, but sometimes I'm like, oh, they're doing good. And then I'm just like, okay.
One thing that people assume is maybe that you feel like you do all the work and then the creators and the front-facing people get kind of all the reward or credit for that.
Yeah, the Try Guys do nothing. I do all the work.
I hate Keith.
I hate them so much. No, I think we definitely do a lot of the work, but what I love about the Try Guys audience is when they comment, they usually say like, oh my God, I love how this was produced, how this was edited. They really mention it, which I love because I'm like, oh my God, our work is getting recognized. So I think I'm thankful that our audience can see that. So I feel like we are sharing our work together, which I really like. I think if it was more professional, like more traditional media where you're all divided into teams, I think it would be a lot harder to kind of work together and feel like this is a group project.
No, it definitely feels more like an equal split and like I'm doing half of the work to kind of give them the tools and like setting them up to be on camera and perform, and then like they're doing the other half, which is like being entertaining and being the face of it. Yeah. Especially with, because like the main channel right now, like we have Bit City, and so like the cast like has a huge hand in like writing that. Mm-hmm. So like they're super involved behind the scenes stuff. Yeah. And like the things that I do is very like technical and like producing and like attending meetings, like things that I don't think they would want to do.
Yeah.
And so like that allows them to just be like writers and like cast. Yeah. So it feels like an equal split.
Both places that I've worked, my position in the company has been super public. Mm-hmm. So everyone knows like what I'm responsible for, what the researchers are responsible for, the segment writer or whatever. I think that that's really cool that, like you said, they'll be like, oh, I really like what Sam did here with this, like knowing that I did it, or what whoever's involvement is easily traced, like when the full product comes out. Yeah. I think that that's really cool.
Yeah.
Something maybe that people don't, maybe not as understanding of the working process, think that we just hang out with YouTubers all day and don't do any work.
That is very false.
Yeah.
So false.
You have a real job. All right. Yep. Assumption done.
This industry is the hardest I have ever worked in my life. It is so much work.
Yeah. And I feel like it's so many more meetings than people like expect. Like it is much more like corporate.
Yeah.
And I think people assume like, I feel like if we're not shooting, like some days, like I'm in meetings for like 6 hours.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's like tangible work that has to be done. Like it's not just like turning a camera on and being like, okay guys, like do good. Like there's so much prep that has to go into it.
Yeah. So most days I'm working at home alone. I don't have any people around me. I'm in my little cave, literally on my computer all day. So that's definitely work. And when I'm shooting, I do feel like I'm more on the play side because we get to eat Taco Bell or whatever and just hang out all day. So in that sense, I feel like I'm hanging out and like playing, but most of the times I am behind the computer working. Mm-hmm. That's the serious work.
Yeah.
This is a fun one because I've definitely felt this, but it's hard to explain your job to your family members and maybe like the older family members or people that don't quite understand the digital media space.
Explaining what I do to my family is like talking to a pilgrim. Mm-hmm. I truly, is that offensive to pilgrims?
I don't think the pilgrims are around anymore.
It literally is like, it is like, they have no idea what's going on. My grandma actually called me a few weeks ago and she was like, that girl you work for, is she on Netflix? No, yeah. It's on Twitch. Like trying to explain what Twitch is to my family. Mm. They're like,
especially with Smosh, like the content itself doesn't help because like if I show them a video, they're like even more confused.
Yeah.
Like, what is this podcast with like three men in like a black morph suit? And, like what's going on? Yeah. Like it's very hard to explain. And I think it's also like a lot of people don't understand. Like we were just talking about this, like how do you make money from the internet? If you're not in that world, it seems like very silly and like simple and like not a lot of like work goes into it. And like you can't see the back end of it. So like you don't know that like you can have like a profession in this field. Like you can live off of it.
If there's one thing I hate more than watching a video with myself in it, it's watching a video with myself in it when people I know are around.
Like
I don't know if your family
that.
Ever like they like my parents know what I do and they understand it. But like I'll go home and they're like, oh, like trying to show someone else like let's put on this video. And I'm like, nah, I don't want to go. I don't want to do it. Don't look at me.
It's like when you don't want your friends to see your TikToks. You don't want them to actually watch them.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like people that you may know that work in traditional entertainment or traditional media kind of look down on you or don't really take you seriously?
For sure.
I've heard that.
Yeah. I mean, like a lot of the people that I went to film school with are still in traditional media.
Yeah, me too.
So I definitely feel like a sense of like, oh, you work for YouTube. Like, got it. Like I'm on a Netflix show. Like they definitely don't think it's like up to par. Mm-hmm. Which I think they just don't fully understand it. And I think that's like an outdated.
I think now it's a bit different because we all are in like YouTube groups that are way bigger. Mm-hmm. So like we get millions of views
with
just videos that we make like once a week sometimes.
Right.
So I think we got more respect. But I do see there's a little bit of difference. I didn't hear it in person, but I did hear people saying like, oh yeah, people still think traditional media is way more respectful or whatever. But I think the other way actually, I think people are treated way better in digital media. From what I've heard, and I think we have more creativity, more freedom, so I love it more.
All right, let's get into some kind of individual assumptions for each of you. First one, Sam. People think that working for Cutie is kind of a much more natural creative fit for you. Do you feel that way?
Me and Cutie have so much in common, just like girl to girl. Like, we're so crafty. We love cooking. We just, I've always been a fan of her content because it's like the type of thing that I would be doing. It's what I do in my free time. It's what I want to do. So I am definitely thankful to have so much in common with my boss, like on a friend level and just like a content level too. I think it's just really, there's something special about that. But when I was at H3, I got to do things that I really like to do as well. It was just sort of like a different side of me with building and doing a lot of set design and just large scale like visual things, which was really fun too. So I think that both of those roles access different sides of me that I enjoy both sides equally.
YB, people assume that you will always know how you'll appear on camera because you're an editor or maybe that you kind of can craft, I guess, how you appear on camera.
Yeah, so I used to be able to edit all the videos I was in, which I loved because I could choose a good angle, I could make myself look good. But lately, because we've been so busy, they want me to edit the harder videos and they've been giving my videos, the videos I'm in, to like other editors, freelancers. Mm. So I was kind of sad about that. I still get to give notes, but I can't really leave notes like, I look bad in this angle. So it's an adjustment. Yeah. I used to be able to, not anymore so much. I wish I could. Yeah. That'd be the best case scenario.
I would love to, choose what I could look like in videos. Actually, I don't even know what I look like in videos. I don't watch them.
You don't watch them?
Hopefully they make me look good.
I edited a video with you in it.
Yeah, that's true. Did you intentionally try and make me look bad?
No.
Okay.
I try to make you funnier than you are. Just kidding. You were
that's
already
impossible.
Good. You were good.
I've reached max funny.
You were great.
Aaron, people believe that you think that you can still meet Harry Styles through Smosh.
Right. Okay. Here's the thing. At this point, it would be so embarrassing. Like, given how much, like, I've said about him, like, I've made a TikTok page about his feet. What? Like, it would be so embarrassing to meet him through Smosh at this point. Also, if we can get him go for it. I don't think we can, but if we can make it happen, sure. That feels deeply, deeply embarrassing at this point. So I'm okay if it doesn't happen.
All right, this is a game. As successful YouTube creators, who all of you have had hands in videos that have gotten well over a million views, we're gonna show you a series of thumbnails. And for each thumbnail, you are gonna guess if it is over or under a million views.
Okay, so this is Rhett and Link, and they spent a day in 1984. We've got Rhett with his hair slicked back into like a low man bun, looking very dapper. Link has, I think, his normal hair. It's just kind of pushed back, and he's got like a dangle earring. And then there's like a red car next to them, and it says back to 1984.
All right, I'm going to give you a 3-2-1 count. If you think it's over, you're going to put a thumb up. If you think it's under, you're going to put a thumb down, and then we can swipe it and see if you're right. So 3-2-1.
Oh, no.
Wow, 2 downs, 1 up. Let's see.
Oh, so close.
So close to a million.
Wow, Rhett and Link are washed.
It's over for them.
It's over for them.
So close, though.
We got a Jay Schlatt thumbnail. But please explain it. I'd love to hear your explanation.
Jay Schlatt.
So this is censored slightly, but it's two. I think it's Minecraft. I don't play games. I'm so sorry.
You think that's Minecraft?
I think it's Minecraft.
You're not sure.
Minecraft. It's definitely Minecraft.
I didn't read the words yet. I was starting with the picture. And then there's text on the thumbnail that says, "You like dick and balls?" And then the title is "Winning $10,000 in a Minecraft Monday." 5 years ago, 23 minutes, 56 seconds long.
5 years ago was a good time for YouTube.
Good time for Minecraft, too.
Yeah.
And like with that, with "Do you like dick and balls?" Yeah. Like that's... Who wanna...
I'm telling you, this is probably a heater for kids. I know. I have my guess.
Everyone else ready with a guess?
Yeah. Oh, I'm ready.
All right. 3-2-1. All over. All right.
I think it's over 2.
1.3.
Oh. Yeah. 1.3.
I was too confident.
I thought it would be more.
Next one. Anthony Padilla.
When did he leave Smosh?
6 years ago is a long time.
That's not when he left.
I'm gonna say the thumbnail itself isn't good, but because he's a big creator and it was 6 years ago when YouTube was pretty big.
It's also like 8.5 minutes.
It's really
quick. Feel like that's, the thumbnail needs more like neon. It's not.
It needs a big red circle and an arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe all like right.
Do you have your guesses?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. 3-2-1.
Wow.
3 unders.
Oh my God, so close.
We were right.
Yeah.
That did pretty good then.
Yeah.
Try to get you on that one. 999K.
Wow.
Feels like a bit of a
really
trick question.
Really close.
It does. Very close.
I'm going to get that to a million today.
Yeah. Keep watching it.
All right. The next one, Markiplier video just titled Popcorn from 8 years ago.
Staring
at popcorn.
Okay. 5 minutes. I think, it's simple.
You know?
For
I
the
like
time,
it.
Yeah, 8 years ago.
What more did you need at this time on YouTube?
Think about Markiplier 8 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking this was probably a heater.
Me too.
3-2-1. Okay, how many views do you think it got if you think it's over?
3.8 million.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say 5.2.
Oh, my God. That'll be 4.5.
All right.
In the middle.
Please reveal.
What? 16
milli.
What happens in this video?
He probably just makes popcorn.
It's got to be more than that.
It's five minutes. Well,
popcorn
it cooks for like three.
Yeah.
It cooks for like three.
Really?
So maybe it's like he's getting
the
bowl.
The packaging.
Yeah,
wow.
He's opening it. Maybe he eats it.
The what a
dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. This next one is coming from good buddy Jarvis Johnson. He posted a video titled "Jarvis Johnson is the worst channel on YouTube."
I don't know this creator. Is he big?
Yeah, I think he's well known.
I love Jarvis.
How big are we talking?
I'm trying to think 6 years ago, though. Yeah.
6 years ago, if it's under, it deserves over.
Yeah.
Thumbnail, not the best.
But I gotta say that the thumbnail does need help.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
That blue is.
Yeah, and the time code covers one of the like blocks of text.
Come on, that's like such a rookie mistake.
All right, 3-2-1. Jarvis Johnson haters.
No.
Should we reveal
it? Oh, no.
Oh, we were right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, you're
that's,
right.
That's not bad, though.
That's okay.
6 years
bad.
Ago when he was just starting out.
That is good, yeah.
If that's a starting view, that's really good.
Yeah.
All right, our next video is from Bill Wirtz. "I just did a bad thing" from 5 years ago. 2 minutes and 48 seconds.
Do we know the context of this video?
Yeah.
Like, is he announcing... Was this a scandal?
Yeah, was it a scandal?
You only get the thumbnail.
Okay,
and title.
2 minutes, 48 seconds,
five years ago. It is tempting.
I mean, he made a banger before that.
Right.
Maybe people were like, was this after?
I can't give you any more information. Oh, and like, not just because I don't have it, but also because I wouldn't if I did. It's against
this one's
the rules.
Hard.
I think I would click on it if I saw it.
I think
it.
I would too.
There's
so
something
short.
About
so
the...
vague.
Yeah. You know what gets me is the all lowercase titles.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of like...
That's endearing.
It's like, oh, I got to post something. I made this yep. quickly. I have to...
It's like, he doesn't care.
I don't have time
yeah.
for grammar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. All over. How many views do you think it got?
If he asked that means a lot, right?
Who knows?
8 million.
I think it got like 21 million.
21 million. Oh my God.
I'm going to go so much lower and say 1.1 million.
All right. Please reveal.
9.4.
Okay.
What did he do?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What did he do?
I don't know. I haven't seen the video.
Oh my God. Okay.
Aaron and Sam, you are tied up. And this is the final one. I'm sorry you don't have an opportunity.
It's okay. It's okay.
Might be. I'm sorry. And we've got a Smosh Games video. Aaron, you might have a little bit of an upper hand here. Who knows? This is Uno Brutal Edition.
I totally knew that we did this video 10 months ago.
10 months ago.
10 months ago.
You guys playing Uno? That's so cool.
Arasha and Courtney
31
in the thumb.
Minutes. Is it Uno the whole time?
This is so unfortunate because I definitely would have been in a meeting where the views of this video were relayed to me. But that was so long ago. And it's the Games channel. So I probably wasn't listening that closely.
Wait, was I in this video?
If you weren't listening closely at the meeting,
it must not,
I think
not
I have know. My guess. I think the title's too long.
And there's parentheses.
Parentheses. That's... No.
That's a fair note. That's a fair note that I could give Spencer.
All right. I'm counting you in.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
I'll still vote.
Wow. All three under. Give it a look-see.
What?
You know what? Wrong. That's great.
That's crazy. I mean, good for them. That's
yeah.
great
for them.
On an Uno
see.
Video?
Yeah. I'm sorry that I doubted them.
Oh. Three Smosh Games haters.
I love Smosh Games. Don't say that.
Aaron and Sam, congratulations. You tied for first. And as your prize, we are having, in the next one, the creator of the Backrooms, if you're familiar, Kane Pixels, who's the one who created it. If you have any assumptions for them about the creation of the Backrooms or anything, feel free to ask.
I'm going to assume that the only toilet paper in the Backrooms is one ply. That's my assumption.
One ply. That's a good assumption.
Thank you.
That's a good assumption. Now that we've, you know, are reaching the end of our journey, how does everyone feel? Does everyone feel enlightened? Does everyone feel like they've gotten things off their chest?
We set the record straight.
We did.
We did. We did.
Everyone thinks that you all know Mr. Beast, that all YouTubers know Mr. Beast. Do any of you know Mr. Beast?
I do not know
no.
Mr. Beast.
No. So sorry.
Sorry, everyone.
Sorry.
They don't know Mr. Beast. Thank God.